lump sum payment, his rationale being that he directed the marketing and home video campaigns that had been so effective in enhancing the value of the film library. Wells agreed, but in return, he again tried to get Katzenberg to abandon the 2% annuity. Katzenberg refused. Negotiations continued throughout the year. Katzenberg wanted assurances that if Wells should leave, he would be his successor, given his extraordinary success with the studio. As Eisner had often said, financial executives like Wilson were fungible. Creative executives like Eisner and Katzenberg were irreplaceable. In one draft of the new contract, Katzenberg's lawyer wrote, "If Frank leaves, you replace him." Though Eisner kept his distance from the negotiations, Wells kept him informed, and the issue of Katzenberg's succession annoyed him. "I won't make that deal," he exclaimed at one point. Eisner blamed Katzenberg's demands in large part on David Geffen, who had become a billionaire by selling Geffen Records to MCA Corp. Since their first meeting, he and Katzenberg had gradually become best friends. They spoke on the phone every day and were sharing a vacation house in Acapulco when the issue arose. Eisner complained to Katzenberg's lawyer, Arthur Emel, that Geffen was wielding undue influence on Katzenberg, and Eisner seemed to resent their close relationship. Though Wells assured Katzenberg that he was his successor and said he'd even discussed the eventuality with Roy, Stanley Gold, and Sid Bass, Eisner made sure that such language never made it into the final contract. So instead of extending the contract for another 6 years from the expiration of his current deal to 1996, Katzenberg said he wanted an option to leave 2 years sooner, in 1994, in the event Wells stepped down and someone other than he took his place. Still, there was plenty to reassure Katzenberg in his new deal. Besides an enhanced salary of $750,000, a grant of 500,000 stock options, Disney agreed to pay $4 million toward the new beach house Katzenberg was building in Malibu, and retained the lump sum payout provision, still a tremendous concept, Wells wrote, that should increase by a big amount. In a handwritten letter to Eisner dated June 26, Katzenberg expressed his appreciation. "The last few months were very difficult for all of us, but they are behind us, and I just wanted you to know that I feel great about where we ended up. Most importantly to me, way beyond the dollars and cents of it all, is the fact that in the end you came through and delivered for me. We've been together a very long time. In fact, in terms of Hollywood timekeeping, about 3 lifetimes so far. I not only hope, but I'm counting on us staying together forever. You've been great. You've handled my crap with extraordinary patience and care and understanding. I'm deeply appreciative and do love you for it. Jeffrey." After the surprising success of Oliver and Company, Katzenberg and Schneider were on the prowl for another Broadway-style musical, and Schneider turned to Howard Ashman, whom he knew from Little Shop of Horrors, where Schneider had worked as the show's stage manager. A native of Baltimore with a master's degree from Indiana University, Ashman had begun writing plays while working as an editor at Grosset and Dunlap Publishers, and later became artistic director of the WPA, an off-Broadway theater that produced Little Shop. Ashman, however, was worried about how he'd be treated working for Disney.